Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
He said, I love you so much, you can eat everything but not of this tree. Not of this tree. And there would be great consequences for eating of that tree. We'd basically become independent, not seeing our need of God. I can do things on my own. He was wrong. It didn't kill me. And all of these things. He didn't set it at the far, far outskirts so that it really wasn't an option. It was a choice, but none we could ever get to. It was a choice very accessible. And the point was this, I just want you to trust me. I just want you to love me. And so here's your choice.
Chances are that you've heard it said that love demands a choice. This is to say that if our relationships with others were forced or controlled, it wouldn't really be love at all in the first place. This, of course, is where free will comes into play between God and man. In today's message, Pastor Troy reflects on the responsibility of free will and God's desire for us to trust and love Him. In his study, you'll gain a better understanding of the nature of free will and how God doesn't force us to love Him. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. And maybe this study isn't very relevant for most of you, because how many of you never have to make tough choices? I mean, the only ones who should raise their hand are those who weren't listening and thought they should, or babies. They don't have to make any tough choices. They just cry and ask someone to fix it for them, and it works for them. But it doesn't work for us, does it? Not even our Lord. You know, some parents can be really mushy and merciful and compassionate, overly so, so that they don't want to see any discomfort at all, and they'll go run to the child's aid, right? Sometimes overwhelmingly so. But God's not like that. He lets us make choices. And He lets us learn from our choices. And He teaches us pretty well through our choices, the choices that we make. One of the most important freedoms that we have in this country is the freedom to make choices. And you notice this freedom much more if you travel to other countries. We're kind of really westernized here because we're just used to choices. We can choose what kind of phone, what kind of, go to the peanut butter aisle, and it's not just the peanut butter aisle, like, do you want peanut butter? It's like, which peanut butter? And which brand of that kind of peanut butter that has these things in it. And, oh, here's MSG, and here's no. We've got so many choices. We are blessed with a plethora of choices. So much so that we demand choice. I gotta have a choice. Don't you back me into a corner. Don't you give me one option. I need choices. That's our culture. That's our society. But it's not that way everywhere. Dmitry Krupnikov, who's from Kaluga, Russia, he came and taught here one time. He's a friend that I see at some of the senior pastors' conferences. When he came and taught, one of the places he wanted to go was to the peanut butter aisle because they can't get peanut butter. And I thought we overwhelmed the young lad because he got there, he's like, I don't have a bag big enough for this. And it's a good thing we didn't have to do like a whole shopping experience with him. We got a lot more choices than that, just your peanut butter. I mean, you need bread for that? Huh? We got brown bread, round bag, bagel bed. You know, we got everything. Choices, choice after choice. But he didn't have those choices. He needed to get something here so that he could take it back. We're spoiled, you know. In some cultures, you don't get to choose your spouse. In some cultures, you don't get to choose your home. You don't get to own land. You don't get to choose your social class. a social class. I did an experiment in high school because I was with one particular class of people and decided, you know what? I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to dress. I'm going to comb my hair. I'm going to do the things necessary. I'm going to see what happens. Well, I was accepted into the next class. It was a real easy transition. But in places like India, you're born into a caste system. The class you're born in, that's the class you stay in. You can't have a job outside of that class. You can't have friends outside of that class. You're born in that class. You stay in that class. You do the jobs that that class does. And if you don't, if you try to cross lines, the penalty can be death. So we're very, very, very blessed with choices. In fact, we serve a God who saw it important for us to have choice. Not choices like how many cereals, how many different kinds of cereal, what kind of sugar and all that stuff. But a choice to love. His desire is that we love him. And if no choice is present, love cannot exist. There has to be this freedom of choice. There has to be a choice or love cannot exist. We choose to love someone. And so in the midst of the garden, in Eden, he set a tree. And he said, I love you so much, you can eat everything, but not of this tree. Not of this tree. And there would be great consequences for eating of that tree. Would basically become independent, not seeing our need of God. I can do things on my own. He was wrong. It didn't kill me and all of these things. He didn't set it at the far, far outskirts so that it really wasn't an option. It was a choice, but none we could ever get to. It was a choice very accessible. And the point was this. I just want you to trust me. I just want you to love me. And so here's your choice. We can say that it doesn't make a difference, you know, some of the choices that we make. But I don't think that's true. What we choose is very important. It makes a difference in our life and in our future. Everything. You can always have the argument that so many have. Yeah, but there's two sides to every option. There's two perspectives, two sides. Well, let me just say there's two sides to flypaper also. But the side that the fly chooses to land on does make a big difference in that fly's future. And I believe that choices do make a difference. Choices that we make do make a difference in what God is enabled to do. He can do anything he wants to, but he doesn't use certain vessels for things of honor. And so we want to talk about making difficult choices, tough choices today, because as Christians, we're called to make tough choices in life, choices that go against the grain. And Moses serves for us as an example of someone who made tough choices. So verse 24, we read, by faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's the first choice we're going to talk about. It's the faith to sacrifice. That's the choice. We have to have the faith to sacrifice. To understand the sacrifice here, we need to understand Moses' life as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses lived in Egypt, where they had the best of everything. They ruled the world. It was the most fertile area in the world. They depended upon no one. They ruled everyone. It was a very advanced culture. The ancient Egyptians believed that the world was round before science said it was. Very well-educated, especially for their time. They calculated the distance from the earth to the sun to be about 93 million miles. They were very accurate before we could measure it. They had this temple of the sun. It was the ancient Harvard of its day. Before Harvard, our Harvard is still an Ivy League school, but it was actually a much higher level league school back when it was training pastors and men to go into the ministry, for the work of ministry. The standards were so much higher. because they didn't include just standards of academic excellence, but moral character, well-rounded individuals. So Moses had access to, in fact, not only access to, but he was raised in this. This was his way of life, learning all of this, knowing all of this. They were known for their art, their architectural genius. So they also had an artistic side. Being a relative of Pharaoh, Moses would have grown up having the best education, raised in leadership and government, knowing how to lead and govern, which would be important if you're going to lead 2.5 million people later on, but trained in leadership. He was able to read hieroglyphics. Maybe we could call that the texting of its day. They left little messages on the wall and somebody could come by and read what happened. Although most of the news was always old news. They were able to understand Canaanite languages, many of the languages. They were able to take and learn and be able to communicate with people in those other countries, which would be important if you're going to go into the land of Canaan. And then they had a lot of wealth, great wealth. The rulers of Egypt were often buried in gold caskets. So Moses basically could have chased his wildest dreams. He had everything at his disposal. This was the life he had to make a choice about. So when it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, there's more to it than a change of last name. There was a lot of pull, a lot of importance. He was an important man in Egypt. From a worldly standpoint, Moses ended up giving up everything. But Moses saw things differently. He had everything, but there was still something missing for Moses. What I love about Moses is he teaches us that you can have everything that you think you want, that you think would fulfill, and there will still be something missing. In fact, not just Moses, but you can ask anyone who in later in life finally found out what it was by coming to Christ and had lots and lots and lots of money. And I mean the kind of money that's like, who needs more? I mean, I am sick of it. I'm going to just start burning it. All of those, first of all, many of them have a hard time coming to Christ because there's too much they feel they have to let go of. The scripture talks about the rich man and how it's very, very hard for those who have so much to let go of things and come to Christ. But those who have will say, you know what? All of that was nothing. It was empty. It was a chase. I lost half the time with my kids. I lost this. It caused divisions in the home, whatever the case may be, because of the pursuit of all of that. Moses felt something was missing, but he saw it in the Hebrew children, in the Israelites. This promise of a land, this God who had a hope and a future. That seemed more interesting to Moses. We'll read later that he saw ahead. He could see the promise. He said the promises. He could see those promises. He could envision them.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message. So be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message.
Building on the solid ground.
He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He denied himself everything that he could have had. And I think there's a point here for us. Moses could not have gone forward in leading the people. He couldn't even have traveled with the people had he not let go of that which was holding him back, Egypt, and those riches. Maybe the next position, Pharaoh, who knows? He had to let go of that. He had to forsake it Because if they decided, if he decided, I'm going to hold on to this and this, I want both, then as soon as God said, there's going to be the Exodus, he would say, not me. I got this. So I'm staying here with this. Be like, Moses, don't you get it? You're the one I wanted to use for this, but you're not available. You're holding on to something. So he forsook it. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But here's the point for us. All right, Moses had to give up all of that. I don't have all of that. But here's what the scripture says to us. I believe the scripture tells us that denying self is an essential part of following the Lord. We can't follow him or follow him completely if we won't deny ourselves. Jesus said, unless you pick up your cross, deny yourself and follow me, you can't be my disciple. Following him, you can't hold on to this, keep holding on to this and be all in. You got to be half in is not all in for sure. You got to be in or you're not in. Figure it out. This is a message, just denying yourself. It's a message that's not real. I don't think it's taught a lot today because it's not a message that many want to hear. You know how I know that? The number one selling books are those about your life, your best life now. Not change anything, not deny anything, not even mentioned. But I want to be my best me, just leave my stuff alone, leave me alone. And help me to become a better me. How to fix the problems. Show me how I can be a better me. But the scriptures teach us that that is impossible if we're going to hold on to me. There is no better you. You're a sinner. In fact, if he lets go of us and he says, let me let you be the real you unconstrained. Let me show you who you are. We might be very surprised at what we're capable of, what's in our hearts, what we would do. 24 hours of just do it all, no consequences. We would write our list down, no consequence, nothing, are you sure? Nothing. Oh, there would be such wickedness in our hearts. God knows that. So he doesn't turn us over to ourselves. In fact, he's drawing us more and more to himself so that we can grow to a point where, like Paul would say later on in his life, it's no longer me living, but Christ lives in me. I'm not doing some of the stuff that I would have done. I don't even know who this is anymore. This is not me. This is Christ living in me. I can tell you that there are a lot of things that I do now. I'm no Paul, but I can tell you I'm not fully Troy anymore either, because I was different. I looked different, I dressed different, I acted different, I spoke different, and probably I wasn't at church often. I was different. It's no longer me living. There are times I still feel like I was over there and the children's ministry was having a great time and they were having food and I thought, man, I'd love to skip second service, just hang over here, but it was no longer me living. I had to come over here and do what God's called me to do today. There are things that we sacrifice. Moses denied himself. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor during World War II. And it was at the time when Nazi Germany was rising and torturing and killing masses of individuals, especially the Jewish people. And he began to rise up in opposition to that. They found out, they imprisoned him, tortured him, kept him in prison, tortured him more brutally, until they brutally murdered him at the age of 39 in a Nazi concentration camp. And the kicker is, it was just days, I believe, before the war was called to an end and they were releasing prisoners. He died. But he was one they didn't want to let go of anyway. Understanding the seriousness of his call to serve the Lord on a more significant scale Actually, all of our scales are significant. We just don't have that perspective, but he had it. Understanding the seriousness of his call to serve the Lord, he was quoted as saying, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die." So it doesn't matter if the Lord's saying, "Follow me," and for 2 days, you're a bright witness. And on the third day, you're with him. Doesn't matter. That's the goal of our faith. He knows that we're his. Paul tried to remind us, you're not your own. You're bought at a price. You belong to him. So offer yourself to him, that there might be fruit in our lives, that we might feel a sense of purpose. And listen to this. Speaking of blessing, here you go. I want a blessed life. I've heard the stories of some of those who've come back having been imprisoned, tortured, and said, you know, the body only takes so much pain. And there are times where God is with you to such a degree you don't feel the pain. Said, but here's what you do feel. I have never felt so close to God in my entire life as in that place. Almost to the point I want to go back and minister again so that I can put myself in that situation in God's will to be that close again. There is payoff in this life for drawing near to the Lord. We don't sacrifice anything here that isn't just this passing pleasure anyway. But the rewards, what we end up heaping up for ourselves in heaven, are eternal. They last forever. They'll never go away. There's no second chance to store them up. It's here. So we can either attain to what Moses had already attained to and hold on to it, or sacrifice. Remember, sacrifice isn't foolishly. All right, I got a lot of money. I'm just going to throw it away, burn it, get rid of it. I don't want it. There's my sacrifice. That's foolish. But to treat it as if it's insignificant in the sense that when God calls, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make the decision for me. So that God is able to use you. Moses was able to do what John said that every believer should do. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. It's hard to hold on to Egypt and to deliver people out of it, right? In the same vein, it's really hard to lead people to Christ and hold on to our own Egypts. It's very hard. It's like trying to help someone out of the mud when you're in the mud. You got to get on firm ground. You got to get on land first, right? Then you can help them out of the mud. So Moses had the faith to sacrifice. Now, this is exciting. What did he sacrifice for, right? Let's look at this, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin.
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.